If you have your Bible, you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, let me read a few verses, and then we will back up to verse 1 and take it word by word or phrase by phrase as the need may be. It says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." And we'll get a little bit farther than that, but we read those verses, and it's like a lot of the Proverbs, they just go from one topic to another topic, and sometimes they don't seem to follow a certain theme. But this first one has to do with family unity, whether it's a home family or a church family or a school family. I like croutons in my salad, that dry morsel it talks about in verse 1, but I would not like to have a meal just of croutons. I like the steak as well. But it says it's better to have dry morsel and quietness therewith, a lack of anxiety there. It's a state of prosperity. That word is used in Psalm 122. Verse 7, talking about the prosperity of Jerusalem. And whenever we have family harmony, and when you look around, you see a lot of families without that. I hear my dad say so often, of course, having worked for 36 years as clerk of court, he dealt with a lot of family strife issues. He dealt a lot with alimony and child support and all kinds of bickering and inheritance that are left to the siblings, and people are fighting over who gets what, and our family, thank the Lord, is not like that. And I heard my dad say many times, you know, how blessed we are to have a family of unity, and I think that of our church ministry as well. What a blessing it is to have the unity that the Holy Spirit gives. And it says it's better to have that and just the dry morsel, just the basic necessities, than it is to have this sacrifice with strife, a wonderful banquet meal with strife, controversy, quarreling going on. It's kind of hard to enjoy the meal when that kind of thing is going on there. And so there are things that are much more valuable than nice meals and nice houses and those things, and that is a family unit there. And we, verse 6 talked about children, so we'll see that in just a minute as well. Now verse 2 talks about servants and sons, and in homes, especially back then, the sons had responsibilities. They also had servants in the homes that had responsibilities. And here it says, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame. Now, a wise servant is obviously working under his master. And in the master's eyes, what makes this servant wise? You know, if you're the master and you have the servant working for you, or you're an employer and have somebody working for you, what do you view that they're doing that makes them wise? And of course, a lot of things will go into that, but to kind of sum it up, faithfully performing his duties, you know, regardless of what those are. A person who is faithfully doing that, so a servant, though he's not a son, he's not in the inheritance with the children, it says if he's a wise servant, he's going to have rule over the son, even the one who is part of the family and should be in line of the rulership there. He says that he'll have rule over the son that causes shame. And what causes shame? It's misusing the duties and responsibilities. So a person who has that privilege of being a son and has that position of sonship, when he doesn't use that properly, and yet there's a servant over here, a slave, and he is responsible and he's faithful, then he's going to have higher value to the master than the own son would have to them. It says in verse 2, the latter part of it, he will have part, that is the servant will, of the inheritance among the brethren. And so all the siblings there, this servant, even though he's not in the family, he's still going to receive part of the inheritance. Now, when we make an application to that spiritually, are we sons of God or are we servants of God? Both, that's right. That was kind of a trick question, wasn't it? Because I put the word or in it. We are. We are sons of God. We have that privilege as his children. We have that position there. And it's possible for us as children of the Heavenly Father to cause shame, just as it talks about here. And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to cause shame to the name of Christ. But we are also servants as well, because God has bought us. He's paid the price. And so we need to be a servant who, in the eyes of the master, he looks and he sees us as faithfully performing our duties. And not all servants have the same duties. Not all sons have the same duties. Not all servants and sons have the same abilities. But God gives to everyone exactly what he wants him to have there. And I was sharing that with one of our parents this past week, has a student that has special needs and has the IEP, and was talking to them about that and sharing that how God has given their child exactly what he wants her to have, to do what he has for her to do. And that's part of our Christian education, that we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. He doesn't give everybody the same abilities there. And so I think that was encouraging to them. If people aren't saved, they don't quite pick up on that. But people that know the Lord and serve him, it's an encouragement. Now, verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. And so it's kind of tied to the verse before it. Whether a person is a son or whether he is a servant, just as the gold and silver are tried by fire, God tries us, his children and his servants, by fire. The verse says in verse 3, the Lord tries the hearts. And so we talked about what makes a servant wise and what makes him pleasing to the master is faithfully performing his duties. But in verse 3, it doesn't say that the Lord is trying their works. It says he's trying their hearts. And the Lord sees the heart, and man can't see the heart. And so whether we are servants or sons or both, which we really are, the Lord is, he tries us. The Bible says that God never tempts us like Satan tempts us to do evil. But God does try us. He tests us there. And he does that just as the gold or the silver goes through the trying of the refining pot. It burns out the impurities and it makes us more valuable and pure. And that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. He's pruning us, as the example from John 15 is, so that we might bear more fruit. He's purifying us so that we might be more like him and more honoring to him, and we can be used as a servant and as a child. of God. Verse 4. A wicked doer, he gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. Giveth heed and giveth ear are very similar. They're not the same Hebrew phrase here. The word giveth heed means to pay close attention to something. And giveth ear is a different word that just means to hear what somebody's saying. But one is a little more intensified there. And so here the warning is given. It says, a wicked doer, he gives heed to false lips, and a liar will listen to a naughty tongue. And as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, many, many times we've seen passages about words, haven't we? Sometimes it's called the words, sometimes the lips, sometimes the mouth. And whenever we see it, it's tied to the heart. And so we say we have to be careful with our words, because our words can be used to encourage, or our words can be used to hurt others. But what is the sin that is addressed in verse 4? In one word, the sin that is being addressed in verse 4 is listening. Listening to words. So most of the other verses have us addressing the words that we say. And now he's addressing the person who listens. So let's go back and look at the verse again. A wicked doer pays attention to false lips. He gives heed to those things. And a liar, he gives ear. He listens to a naughty tongue. The word naughty means having destruction or calamity there. And so the people that are so eager to hear these things, they do because they are also eager to tell these things. They love to eat what they plant, so to speak. You know, they like to tell it. They like to hear it. And so here, we must be careful, not just in the things we say, but how we listen, or if we listen, or if we walk away, or if we rebuke someone. Someone made a statement as I was studying, and I wrote it down here. It says this: if people often come to you with gossip and lies, ask yourself, why are they so comfortable telling me these things? You know, and if people are so comfortable telling me gossip and lies, it's probably because what comes around goes around, and we ought not be comfortable hearing those things there, that we ought to speak a word of truth there. And so we see a lot in the Bible about the words we speak, and also we see how we listen and how we respond. So it's a wicked doer that gives heed to those things. Now, verse 5, it says, whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker. That is, despising the poor because maybe he has a lower place in society there. Maybe dirty clothes or whatever, you know, and despising them because they're low standing there. But God made them that way. Verse 5. It says, his maker. They didn't evolve there. God made them. And God chooses to give some people riches. He chooses to have some people poor. And not just in our nation, but look around the world at some Christians and how much poverty that there are in other nations there. And for a person to mock the poor, they're mocking the decision that God made to have some be poor and some be rich. And it goes on to say, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished there. And so the Bible says we are to weep with them that weep, and we're to rejoice with them that rejoice. But we should not rejoice in somebody else's calamity there. You know, as a softball coach, you know, if I learned that one of our teams that we're playing, if I learned that, you know, the team that has best pitcher that we face, that pitcher is hurt and can't play, I shouldn't rejoice in that because we're going to have a better chance to win them. And that's what he's talking about here. He that is glad of the calamities of others should not be unpunished there. And so we don't rejoice in harm or trouble that other people are having, even if we consider them our opponent or our enemy there. Because whatsoever man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. Now verse 6, grandchildren, grandparents, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Right training and right example for children is so important, isn't it? Children's children are the crown of old men there. And in our society today, for the most part, a very general statement, the importance of fathers is kind of minimized, isn't it, there? And in our society, there are so many single parents. And usually, most of the time, when there's a single parent raising the kids, usually the court, when they have that, usually the mother gets the child. That's not always the case, but from what I've known for those, whenever the father is awarded the children, it doesn't say much about the mother there. And so in our society today, not that mother or father, one is more important than the other because it's a unit that God has given, but there seems to be a downplay on fathers. And it's so important. The glory of children are their fathers there. And that's the order that God has given in the family. The father is the priest or the head of the family there. And the mother is working in conjunction there with the father. And the glory of children are their fathers there. Well, maybe that's a message for Father's Day this coming June. Let's move on to verse 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. The word excellent there is not what we usually think of when we think of the word excellent. It's a word that has to do with having something in excess. Oftentimes it's like the gleanings of the field, what's left over. And with that thought in mind, it says excess speech is not becoming to a fool. In other words, a fool's speech is never enough. He just goes on and on and on and is talking, and he misses the mark. He talks a lot, but never says anything. You've heard that there. And so here, it's not becoming to a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. And a prince is a person who is in a position of authority. And so when there's a person in a position of authority, whether that authority is civil, political leaders, or whether that authority is within the church, if a person who is lying, lying is wrong, whether it's done by a child or whether it's done by someone in authority, but this verse is saying, much less do lying lips a prince. It is not becoming there. We have higher expectations. The higher someone is in a position of authority, there's a higher expectation. And so when you see people in positions of leadership that lie, it's a reproach and it's a shame. And unfortunately, we see it too much. You've heard the saying, honesty is the best policy. Well, for believers, we have to go a step beyond that, don't we? It's the only policy, not just the best policy. Honesty, and God honors honesty there. Verse 8 talks about bribery. It says, gifts. A gift is as precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turns, it prospers. And you think about a stone that's turning in the light, and it glitters, and it's shining there. And here he says that this bribe is like that. It's so appealing there. Because when people are looking for bribes, they're looking to get something for themselves. Well, the Bible also uses that word gift in the New Testament, not the same original word, but the English word gift. It uses the word gift as what the Holy Spirit gives us. And when the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, the Bible says the purpose of all of these gifts is for the body of Christ, the King James says, to profit with all. And so God gives us gifts so that we can benefit other people with it. But a person who is interested in bribery, he's not seeking to benefit other people. He's looking to see what he can get out of it there. When he sees that bribe that's put forth to him, it is like this diamond just shining in the light, and he's trying to gain that and will say anything and do anything he can to get that because it's selfish motivation. Verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, the Bible talks about covering sins, and two different words are used. We know that if we cover our sins, we will not prosper. But that's not what this word covereth means. This word covereth is a word that has to do with forgiving something, not hiding it away. So he that forgives a transgression seeks love there. And that's what the Lord does for us, isn't it? Because of his love for us, he forgives our sins. He forgives our transgressions. But the rest of verse 9 says, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends there. He separates. He divides. In verse 1, we looked at the unity of a family where there is peace and contentment. But now we see where there is division and there is separation, and it's because someone is repeating what someone else said. And teenagers are not the only ones guilty of this, but it is certainly true with teenagers. We see it in our school. If somebody says something to another teenager that so-and-so said about them, even though they know it's going to hurt them and make them mad of what they said, they're going to go and tell them because maybe they want to get on their good side or whatever it is. And that's what this verse is addressing. He that does that, he that repeats a matter, will separate best of friends. And so just because we hear something, we already saw the caution about listening to the wrong things. Just because we hear something doesn't mean we have to tell it. There. And you've heard, I don't know who originated it before, repeating what someone else has said, ask three questions. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? You know, and so just because we hear something, we don't have to go and repeat it. And we can repeat a matter and separate, divide, even best of friends. And the Lord hasn't called us to be dividers of friends. He's called us to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And sometimes a peacemaker goes about making peace by not saying anything, keeping to himself the thing that he's heard there. And that seems to be very hard for some people, isn't it? You know, they just have to tell everything they hear and they can't keep it to themselves. Verse 10, a reproof, correction, enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Words of correction. It's a wonderful thing whenever you go to correct a child or even an adult, and all you have to do is words, and they change their behavior just because of the words. And a wise person will listen and do that. But the rest of it says, a fool, he's not like that. Words are not enough for him. It takes 100 stripes there. Now that's a lot of beatings, isn't it? Fortunately, I never got that many at one time there. Someone talked about their father being a patriotic father. You know, he gave the stripes and I saw the stars. You know, well, that's what is 100 stripes here there for the fool. He doesn't listen to correction. He has to have the stripes. And the wise person is going to listen to God's reproof. We don't need God to, so to speak, work us over. When God speaks, we listen. Verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion there. The word rebellion means stubbornness. Do you know someone who's stubborn? Are you stubborn? I think at sometimes we all have a little bit of stubbornness in us, some about some things more than others. And so when we have that stubbornness in us, it says, an evil man seeks rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him there. And so there has to be a messenger that has some kind of punishment with him because he's being stubborn. And you can't reason with a stubborn person. It's like trying to reason with a 2 or 3 year old. You know, you don't usually reason with them too well. You know, that's why we call them the strong-willed child. Well, this rebellious, strong-willed person, you don't reason with them, but they understand the stripes mentioned in verse 10. Verse 12, and who wants to do this? Who wants to go and grab a bear's cubs with the mama bear nearby and run away with those cubs? Can you imagine being so foolish to do that? That's not very smart. Well, what a wonderful picture he gives us. Let a bear, robbed of her whelps, meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. And the fool in his folly, in all of these verses we've seen, it's the person who repeats a matter. He doesn't have to repeat it, but he goes and he does that anyway. He listens to the lies and the gossip of other people, and he does all of that. It's foolishness, and it's harmful, even as deadly as a bear coming after someone who's taken her cubs. Verse 13, whoso rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That's what they did to Jesus, didn't they? They rewarded evil for good. He came and he healed people. And he did so much good, but yet they still hated him and they rewarded evil for good. And this verse says, it brings continual trouble to the house there. And it's just a justice system that's totally warped. Well, let's finish up another verse here. We're almost at 8 o'clock. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. You ever have a drip, just a slow drip over time, it causes things to corrode. It leaves ruts, doesn't it? Or you can fix the drip, but oftentimes the ruts are still there. And that's what happens with wrong words, when we're saying the wrong things and listening to the wrong things. It says the beginning of strife. It's just like the little faucet that's dripping. That's the beginning. Just letting out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Strife and contention, quarreling, listening to gossip, repeating gossip, and all those things, they go together. And it starts out small, but it can get pretty big. Have you ever seen the power of a fire hose? When you take the full force of that water, you know, and you point at somebody, it just knocks them over. Water can do great damage here. Even a little bit can. It can start out and then kind of washes away the dam, and then all the floodwaters just come, and strife and contention come as a result of that. So go back up to verse 1 as we stop here with verse 14. When we look at verse 1 again, it says, it's better as a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. And so the strife and contention and quarreling comes because people speak hurtful words and other people listen to them. So whether we're on the speaking side of it or the listening side of it, in this passage, God condemns both. And so we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and correct those who might come to us and ask ourselves that question, as I mentioned earlier, why are people so comfortable coming to me and telling me these things? It separates chief friends, and God is in the business of reconciling people, and he wants to use us to reconcile relationships and not be used of the devil to cause strife and division among people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reconciliation that Christ has done for us in bringing us back to God. And Lord, we know that Satan's desire is to separate and divide and cause strife and division with words, especially within the body of Christ. He wants to disrupt it. Lord, help us not to be pawns in his hand because he is so crafty and deceitful. And so help us to be careful of the words we say and also the way that we listen, that we might even be a blessing and a benefit to those who may have a tendency to be of a critical spirit and have words that are damaging. Help us to know how to correct that and help them so that there is no strife within the body of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.